All right, Chevra, it's chus to be together on a Matzah Shabbos Kodesh. A little bit later at night, it's a lot of chizuk to come together to learn Torah. And all the Torah tonight should be Lili Nishmas, Daniela Chassin's grandmother, Sarah Bas Chaim Yehuda Leib. Right? So. Pretty sure. Sarah Bas Chaim Yehuda Leib is Neshamish Evan Aliyah. And she should mamish. She mispalel for the entire mishpach up in Shemayim until we're zoicha to be reconnected with chesameisim with gula shleima b'mehir b'meinu. Bezer Hashem is barach. And to just have simcha and bracha and the mishpacha should have a big nechama. And all the Torah and all the chizik that we get should be lil nishmasa. Now we've entered into the month of Tammuz, and Tammuz is a very difficult month. Tammuz is a month that's really defined by atzvus, by sadness. When we enter into Tammuz, we think about Shivas or B'Tammuz, which is the beginning of Bein HaMetzarim, the beginning of the 3 weeks, which is the beginning of Churban, the beginning of destruction, the beginning of Big Nisyonos, both Beruchnias and Begashmias. The summer month, as much as we enjoy them, are very challenging in many, many ways. But ultimately, for Klal Yisrael, it's been defined over generations, the month of Tammuz and then the month of Av, is times of tragedy. We commemorate this with the Tainesim of and the 3 weeks and the 9 days and Shavuot B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. But it's interesting, if you think about it, 2 Shabbosim ago, if you were in Shul, we benched Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. And we didn't give it any particular name. We didn't give it any name of difficulty or of sadness. We just benched Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. There's only one month a year that has a name to it that connotes difficulty and sadness, and that's Cheshvan, the month of Cheshvan, right? Cheshvan we call Mar Cheshvan. Cheshvan we call a very bitter month. Tammuz is Tammuz. And it's a little bit strange. Why do we call Cheshvan Mar Cheshvan? Why don't we call Tammuz as well, perhaps? And maybe even more so, Mar Tammuz. I know that sounds strange because we're not used to it. So we all know Cheshvan has no Yamim Tovim in it, so we call it Mar Cheshvan, right? They have no days of joy, no days of Simcha in Cheshvan. My birthday happens to be in Cheshvan. But there are no Yamim Tovim for Klal Yisrael. Comes Tammuz. There are also no Yamim Tovim last time I checked. Any Yamim Tovim on the schedule for this month? And there's also, not only are there no Yamim Tovim, there's a Tainus, there's Shavuot B'Tammuz. With all the tragedies that occurred on Shavuot B'Tammuz, the Gemara goes through 5 major tragedies of Shavuot B'Tammuz, beginning of the 3 weeks. If we didn't know better, we'd think we should call Tammuz, Mar Tammuz, Cheshvan, we should leave alone. Okay, there's no Yom Simcha, but there's also no Yom Tainus in Tammuz. There's no tragedy that occurred in Tammuz. Why are we calling Cheshvan? Why are we calling Cheshvan, Mar Cheshvan, and Tammuz we leave alone? So I think Pshat is as follows. If you go through the months of the year, all the 12 months of the year, every single month has a special day in it. Now, when I say special day, I don't necessarily mean a day full of simcha. I don't necessarily mean a day full of happiness and joy, but I mean a special day, something different, something special. Whether that be a yontav such as a Pesach in the month of Nisan, a Yom Kippur and a Sukkot in the month and Rosh Hashanah in the month of Tishrei. In the month of Kislev, and Teves, we have Chanukah and Adar, we have Purim. And then in the month of Tammuz, we have Shavuot B'Tammuz. It's not a Yom Simcha, but it's still a special day. There's something special to it. And in Av, we have Tisha B'Av. Every month, the month of Elul, every day is special. We're saying, L'davad Hashem Arvi'ishi, we're blowing shofar, we're Meichin, we're preparing ourselves for Yom Narayim. Every month, go through them, have something special to accept for Cheshvan. Cheshvan is the only month that has nothing special to it. Has no special day. So only cheshbon, we call mar cheshbon. To have a month that's void of any special day is bitter. In other words, what we learn from here is that even a month of Tammuz we don't call bitter, because even though it's a sad day and a tragic day, that's a springboard to growth. That's a day that's hisoris, that's there, so we do introspection. A tainus, open up a Rambam, and when he talks about in Hilchos Tainus, what a tainus should be, a day when we do introspection, we look into our life, and we recognize and learn what we haven't been doing right, what we could do better. If we're having a tainus, that means we haven't gotten to where we should be yet. Any generation where the Beis HaMikdash has not been rebuilt in our days, it's as if we destroyed Beis HaMikdash. And we're supposed to think about that. So yes, the month of Tammuz might not be so exciting, and we're not tansing besimcha in that sense, but it still has a special day to inspire us, and therefore it's not bitter. So we have to utilize the chizuk of this month, and grow from this month, and recognize the power of this month. I was learning in a sefer, Teferes Elimelech, Beit Tzadik of Svi Elimelech Waxman, Talmud of mine. I never heard of the Sefer before a few weeks ago, and this Talmud of mine, Ari Mirzov, he bought me the Sefer, and he brought it over, he said, I have to learn it. And he's right, it's a very beautiful Torah so far. And in the Sefer, it brings down that the Rashi Tevos for the month of Tammuz, one of them I actually heard before, one of them I never had before, the Rashi Tevos for Tammuz, Tof Mem Vav Zayin, so he has two of them, they're not in order of those letters, but one of the Rashi Tevos was Zmanei Tshuva Memashvin Ubon. A time of tshuva is coming. The second one, very similar, Zrizin Makdimen V'Oisin Tshuva. Zrizin Makdimen, you have to quickly go and do tshuva. Zrizus. Meaning what? We're already starting, in a certain sense, he goes on to explain, we're already starting to prepare for the Yom Narayim. The Tammuz of is really Hachan already for Elul. Zrizin Makdimen V'Oisin Tshuva. Zrizin is Zayin. Magdimim is Mem, Ve'osin Vav, Tshuva Tav, those are the letters to Tammuz. In other words, what these Rashi Tevos are telling us, that this is a very special time of Tshuva, and that's what we're saying. Meaning what? If we're supposed to be inspired in a certain sense from the tragedies of this time. Yes, of course it's sad, but that allows us to learn that and look into ourselves and realize I'm not who I should be. And I have to be better. So we're trying to grow. And it's a zman of growth. It's a zman of chizuk, of isoros. But sometimes the hardest part is figuring out in what area to focus on. How should I grow? You know, sometimes if we think about it, to be honest with ourselves, if we're really honest, if we really open up and we're honest, there's like every area in the world I need to grow in. Every area in Yiddishkeit I have to grow in. This is not an area, if I'm really honest with myself, and I look into my davening, and my learning, and my tznias, and my midos, and my... Every area I could use growth, I could be better in. Not in a depressing way, but in an honest way. And it's important to think like that, in a certain sense. Again, not in a depressing way, but in a serious way of cheshbon ha-nefesh. The Noam Elimelech, the Rabbi Melech Melujansk, says, this morning we read Parshas Chukas, and Chazal teach us, and we know... How by the Parah Aduma, the one who is Tameh becomes Tahar. And the one who does the sprinkling, the Kohen, who is Tahar, becomes Tameh. That's one of the big chukim, the big laws that we don't understand. It makes no sense how the same episode and taking those ashes, the person Tameh becomes Tahar and the person Tahar becomes Tameh. What's going on? Nami Lamelech says such a beautiful Torah. If all you walk away with is, even this Torah is rather just a little bit of a tangent, but if all you walk away with is this Torah, it was worth coming tonight. He says, you know what it means? Someone who's Tamei could become Tara, and someone Tara becomes Tamei. Someone who looks at themselves as Tamei. Someone who looks at myself as, I need to work on myself, I have chesronos, I have deficiencies, I could be so much more. That's a person in reality who's very Tahar. That's a person in reality who's very pure. But a person who thinks I'm Tahar, a person who thinks I'm great, I'm perfect, I'm sholem, I have nothing I need to work on, I'm close to Hashem, that's a person who really is Tameh. Through the way we look at ourselves, we define who we really are. So the Tameh person becoming Tahar, the Tahar person becomes Tameh. So Noam Elimelech says, with Melech Miljansk. But sometimes it's so hard. Because the emes is we need to work on so many areas. And the hardest part is just finding where to work on. So what should our focus be? When we say, and we say the month of Tammuz is a special time of growth, of Isaurus, of tshuva, in what way specifically? So I think it's very simple. I actually think it's very simple to answer that question. And you all know it already if you did a little bit of cheshbon. You see, because if Tammuz is the time of Shavuos v'Tammuz, the beginning of the 3 weeks, and remembering, commemorating the ultimately the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So we all know the Gemara in Yuma Daf Tes explains how the first Beis HaMikdash was mainly, and there are a lot of other chazals, but the mainly was destroyed because we're involved in the three terrible averas of Gilei Raayis, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. We're involved in promiscuous activities of Gilei Raayis and murder and Avodah Zarah, idolatry, which makes a lot of sense. Those would definitely be reasons to lose the Beis HaMikdash and that connection to Hashem. And the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, you all know it, something you learned from the time you were very, very small, because of Sinas Chinam. Because of baseless hatred. Basically, Jews were not being nice to Jews. Really that simple. And let's remember something else. The first Chorban Beis HaMikdash lasted how long? Chorban Beis Rishon was how long? Till the second Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt? How many years? 70 years. The second Chorban, close to 2,000. Think about that. So the Golus of the Gilei Raayis, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah, 70 years. The Golus of Sinas Chinam we're still in. But clearly, just by analyzing that Gemara on a very simple level, that's where we're supposed to begin. Meaning what? That's where our tshuva should be. If we're all here trying to bring Geula to the world, redemption to the world, and redemption within ourselves, the focus of these days has to be to rectify and reconcile what was done wrong to bring Korban Beis HaMikdash. And that was Sinas Chinam. So what's our avodah during these days? Where should our tshuva start? It's good to start. Listen, anyone who wants to work on their davening, it's always good to work on davening. And you want to work on your tznias, it's always good to work on tznias. And you want to work, again, there are many areas, don't get me wrong. But if you want to know what these days are for, and maybe just to focus and to work on it, it's our avas chinam. Our love of each other, our care for each other, our sympathy, our being there for others in a very real way. That's the avodah of these days. Question is, where does that begin? How do we really work on that? Does that mean, so, I think every single day of this month, how could I do a chesed for someone? That's very beautiful, and that could mean that. It totally could mean that. But sometimes I'll do that, and okay, the month will end, and zehu, and then I'm back to my natural self, who's a little bit selfish, a little bit caring much more about myself, a little bit running after kavod, a little bit full of gaiva. So what's the essence of what we need to work on to fix, to be metaken, the sinas chinam of the world, the sinas chinam of ourselves? Sinas chinam sounds very bad. I'm hoping nobody in this room has such hatred towards others. But can't we have so much more avas chinam? So where do we begin? So I think there's one place. You know, if we think of the greatest leader of Klal Yisrael, if I went around this table, went around this room, I'm sure most of you would point to one person, Moshe Rabbeinu. We've had many great leaders. Many big tzaddikim, talmidei chachamim, but if we thought of one person, it would probably be Moshe Rabbeinu. Now there's a beautiful sichos musar. I may have mentioned this before. It's something, it's a Torah I very much like giving over, because I try to live my life by it. The sichos musar of Chaim Shulevitz, the Heilige Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal of the Mir, in a piece entitled Sheves Achim Gam Yochar, Parshas Tetzavev, the second year of the Sefer. So he says, he brings out a medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu actually had 10 different names. Moshe Rabbeinu had 10 different names. And each of those names, as we've spoken about this often, how our names represent the essence of who we are, and the names give over the mahus, the depth and who we are, our character traits. Each of those names were so, Moshe needed 10 names to incorporate all that he was.
because he was so great. And beautiful names. Chiber, which means attachment, he attached us to Hashem. Avigdor, the father of Gedarim, of fences, as he protected our religion. Beautiful names. Yered, as he brought down the Torah. But what do we call him? What do we all call him? We call him only one of those names. We call him Moshe. Now you all learned Parsha Shemos, and you know he's named Moshe because Min Hamayim Mishisihu. Because he was drawn in from the water. By who? By Ba'ya Bas Paro. Ba'ya Bas Paro, an Egyptian princess, she happened to, did a beautiful act and drew him in from the water, and therefore his name is Moshe Mishisihu. Of all the names, that doesn't seem so powerful. It doesn't seem to define his essence. It seems like there are way more beautiful names to call Moshe. Why is that the name we're calling Moshe Rabbeinu? Of all the names of Moshe Rabbeinu, why do we choose that one? So Chaim Shulevitz explains. I actually spoke about this a few weeks ago somewhere else, gave a different answer. Chaim Shulevitz explains something very, very beautiful. He says, when Ba'ya Bas Paro drew him in from the water, she was completely mevatel herself, nullified herself to save Moshe Rabbeinu. She's the princess of Egypt going against the decree of her father. She could have been killed. She's embarrassing her father in his own country, saving this Jew. She knew he was a Jewish boy, obviously, and the Pesukim tell us that explicitly. And she's going and saving this Jewish boy. She's putting her life on the line to help another individual. She was completely moser nefesh for others. And when she did that, and he explains this based on different chazal, that it became part of Moshe. And he brings different proofs and shows how Moshe Rabbeinu himself, as we all know, went out of his way for others, non-stop, and was Moshe Nefesh and Mavat himself, as he does right away when he comes out of the palace, which is really the next pasuk, and he sees the Jews being hit by the Mitrim, and he goes and kills the Mitri. He put his life on the line by doing that. And that was, Rav Chaim Shulevitz explains, the essence of who Moshe was. You know what Moshe made? We know what made Moshe the greatest of leaders and the greatest of tzaddikim, above and beyond all that he did to this world. He was the only one that spoke to God. Aspaklaria Meira. He was up in Shemayim speaking to God, above and beyond any prophet. He brought us the Torah. But all of that is secondary to the fact that he cared about every member of Klal Yisrael in the deepest of ways, and was willing to put them above himself. And that's encompassed by the name Moshe. His greatness was found in his caring for others, more so than anything else. That's what makes a true tzaddik. That's what makes someone a manig Yisrael, which we all have to strive to be. That's the definition of a tzaddik. Not how much Torah they learn, not how many hours they daven, but how much they care about another person. That's derech eretz kadmo, before we get to anything else. And that's the avot of these days. When I think about this, I always think about this story. I heard this many years ago from Moshe Weinberger. It's a story that happened to him. When he was just married, so he was learning in Grus Kolel in Eretz Yisrael. Why use Kolel? In Bayavagan, some of you learned in Michala. So it's right next door, right? Gros Kolel. Now it's together in the Beis Medrash with the Torah Shraga. Back in those days, it was BMT.
I think they were the first couple.
That was the first year of Gros Kolel? Their year? Yeah?
I think so.
Okay, could be. Anyways, he was in Gros Kolel. And it was Lag Boimer. So where are you going to be, Lag Boimer? You're near Tisrael. By Reb Shimon, by Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, in Meron. So he went to Reb Shimon. And he's, any of us have been there, it's mamish incredible. It's Mein Olam Haba. And he's there, and he sees, suddenly there's thousands of people, and he sees mamish Akriyas Yamsuf. Well, he's all the way up by the Tzion, somewhere close to the Tzion, and there's a Akriyas Yamsuf from the road coming up. All the people are just coming. There's a car coming up. Now, who were the cars that were able to get close to the Tzion? Only big tzaddik and big rebbes. So he looks in and he sees who's in the car. The Kalava Rebbe. The Kalava Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. There's a Kalava Rebbe here in Williamsburg. Kalava Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. Kalava Rebbe, maybe you've seen pictures, or maybe, I don't know if you ever had the schus to meet him. I've been by him many times. Survivor of the Holocaust, a Kaddish Dika Yid. Kanayin Har in his 90s now. His late 90s already. Maybe if you've seen a picture, you'd recognize because he's a Yid. He has no beard. To see a Rebbe with long white payas and no beard, because the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, did all these different experiments on him, and he's not able to grow a beard. So he's sitting there, and he's in the passenger seat of this car. Rav Weinberg at the time had a family member that was married for many years without any children. So he decided, I have to get a bracha, it's Lag B'Omer night, by the Tzion, how could I not get a bracha for this woman from the Kalev Rebbe? So he mamish goes over, and he has a little bit of azaz to Kedusha, and he knocks on the door, on the window. The Kalev Rebbe sitting in the passenger, he knocks on the window. And the Kalev Rebbe let down the window. And Rav Weinberger prior put on a name. He took a little piece of paper and wrote this woman's name down. And wrote like a bracha for childbirth. And he didn't even say any words. He just gave this to the Kalev Rebbe. The Kalev Rebbe looks at it, reads it, and gives Rav Weinberger a whole bracha for this woman. And closes the window. So it was about 30 seconds long. Okay. Two, three years later, Rav Weinberger's back in America. This is before the days of Esh Kodesh. At the time, he was a Rebbe in Ezra Academy. Ezra Academy, it's in Queens. It's a yeshiva, does a lot of Kiruv. He was in Ezra Academy, and he heard the Kalev Rebbe came to America. I remember when this happened. He came actually to the Five Towns for a Shabbos. I still remember he made Shabbos. This has to go back about 25 years ago. Close to 25 years ago. I remember he had Shal Shudas Tish and Young Israel Lawrence Eaters. I was there. I still remember the Niggin he sang. Years ago when I went to the Rebbe for the first time in Eretz Yisrael, when I went to him and I sang to him the Niggin. He was mamash smile. It was amazing. It was a very special moment. I still remember the Niggin about Shabbos. I sing it at my table sometimes. So he came to America. So Rav Weinberger wanted to bring his Talmidim to meet with the Kalev Rebbe. He calls up the guy. He got the guy by his number. He says, sure. And they had a meeting time. So they walk into the Kalev Rebbe. And the Kalev Rebbe looks, the minute he looks at Rav Weinberger. And he says, Shalom Aleichem. And he says, tell me. Did your sister-in-law have a baby yet? Now, Rav Weinberger met the Kalev Rebbe about 2 to 3 years ago for 30 seconds in Meron, surrounded by thousands of people. The first thing the Rebbe says to him, did your sister have a baby yet? So Rav Weinberger says, actually, yeah, Baruch Hashem, she has. And he says to the Rebbe, I don't understand. How does the Rebbe remember? And the Rebbe looks at Rav Weinberger. He says, what do you mean? I've been davening for her every single day since. And then he said, you could have let me know a while ago. And I said, that's a tzaddik. We think we go to Rebbe's and it's like there are people with big koiches and shemayim and connections, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I could tell you, we could sit and for the next 2 hours I could tell you stories, personal stories, nisim gluyim with tzaddikim. But here's a tzaddik that he cares so deeply. Another yid is in need. He's davening for that person every single day. So Moshe Rabbeinu is called Moshe because that's what he had. He had those midos. But what's the essence of those midos? Where did Moshe got it on some level from Batya, but you know what the essence of it is? And what do we need to work on? How can we become like Moshe Rabbeinu? The essence of Moshe was V'ish Moshe Anav Me'od Mikol Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of all human beings. Only a person who has humility is able to care about others in such a deep way, is able to give to others in such a deep way, is able to be mevatel themselves, that I don't exist, I exist only in response to being there for others. That's the key. If we want to know what these days are about, if I want to work on my Avas Chinam, I want to rebuild Beis HaMikdash, so I want to build and care for others, but it has to be through humility. It has to be through serious humility. Humility doesn't mean, by the way, a low self-esteem. And humility doesn't mean that I'm walking around looking at the ground all day and think of myself as a lowly human being. Humility, I could be mamish, understand and think the highest of myself. Think I'm smart and I have care for others and I'm thank God, in a wonderful family, but I understand all of that is from the Eibishter. All of that is from Hashem. That's what humility means. And therefore, I have to take all these kochos to help others, to give to others. Let me read you a little story that I read recently. The story by an individual named Samuel Morse. Samuel Morse was a very famous inventor who invented the telegraph. I'm sure you all heard of Morse code. Morse code, which I believe even still today is used in the Navy. Morse code was invented by Samuel Morse. So the famous inventor, Samuel Morse, he was once asked if he ever encountered situations where he didn't know what to do. Morse responded, "More than once. And whenever I could not see my way clearly, I knelt down and prayed to God for light and understanding." Morse received many honors from his invention of the telegraph, but felt undeserving. "I have made a valuable application of electricity, not because I was superior to other men, but solely because God, who meant it for mankind, must reveal it to someone, and He was pleased to reveal it to me." That's an anav. Someone who understands, he knows what he did for the world. He knows how amazing his invention was, but he understands it's all from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, I'm no better a person than you because of it. That's anivus. And when you have that anivus, I'm mevatel myself to be there for others, to care for others, to do for others, which is what the avodah of this month and avodah of our life is all about. I want to read you from one of my special svarim. I read you from here once before, some of the chevra might remember, a poem, if I'm not mistaken. When it comes to Ben Adam Machavero, when it comes to building midos and caring for others, besides for the classic svarim or chasadikim and Abbas Chesed and others that obviously are very special and powerful, I have two svarim that literally I feel have changed my lives. I mean, I'm still chazering them and still trying to live up to them. One of them, I also have mentioned before, is called Holy Brother, a book about Reb Shlomo Karabach, written by Yita Halberstam. I'm sure some of you have read her Small Miracles books. She was a student of Shlomo Karabach. They're all stories about his life, and inspiring is an understatement. To learn what it means to care about others, to give to others, to be mevatel yourself for others. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing book. I spoke about that once here. And then this book. I think I read from you here once before. This book is called Season of Life, written by an author, Jeffrey Marks. I don't know who he is. He's a Pulitzer Prize winner. But He spent a year with his high school football team. It was coached by an ex-NFL player. And it was an amazing experience of understanding how this coach and his assistant coach, they taught the team way more about life than about football. And really, it's all about Ben Adam L'Chavero. Caring for others, giving to others. Can't expect a non-Jewish coach to get the Ben Adam L'Makom part, right? You know, meaning that's... But Ben Adam L'Chavero here, it's incredible. I'm going to read you a couple excerpts tonight. Look, we'll start with this. "Today's talk is called The Decision," Biff said. Biff was the assistant coach. "And I guarantee you, all of you will have to make it at some point in your life. And the decision is a man built for others or a man built for himself. He asked the boys to close their eyes for a minute. Keep them closed, Biff said. Think about what happens in the world when people make the decision, man built for himself. Some of the great tragedies in the world happen when people make this decision. Biff named some of them. Greed happens. Businesses are run improperly. Young guys don't go to war to fight for freedom. They don't become policemen and firemen. Teams don't aspire to greatness. People don't bring all their talent. The quality of experience is eroded. Families break down. Husbands and wives go different ways. Children suffer. We could go on and on and on. Instead, Biff shifted gears. What happens when you decide to be a man built for others? You strap on the oxygen tank and start climbing stairs to save people in the World Trade Center. When you're the CEO of a company, make sure that everybody has a living wage. Everybody has health insurance. Everybody is treated with dignity and respect. When you're a high school football player, you play every single snap as hard as you can with all your talents because you play not only for yourself, but for everybody. As a father, you make sure that you focus on what your children need. You make sure that there's no one ever treated better than the gal you marry. You do the things that you know you're supposed to do. Biff told the boys to open their eyes. He said that making the decision to be a man built for others really meant choosing to live by the guidelines espoused by the prophet Isaiah, Shia. In that verse summarized on the board, Biff slowly read the words out loud, treating them with reverence. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Biff said that those words were written on his father's tombstone, and that someday he also wanted them spelled out on his own. Not his wallet was this big, he bought this many things, his football record was this, he had this kind of car. Biff said, I don't want any of that, none of it. Pointing to those last four lines on the board, Biff said, I want that. To be someone built for others. To care for others, to give to others. But it has to start with anivus. It has to start with humility. Because that's what we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. If you want to work on this, a good place to start, no, undoubtedly, is the Geras HaRamban. The Geras HaRamban, which is a short three-page letter in this Sefer, a letter that Ramban wrote to his son, it's so every word is so powerful. But really, that's what the whole letter is about. If you really read it, that's what it's all about. Anivus. Humility. As he writes, we could read through the whole letter, but I'll leave that to you. V'chol adam yigadol mimcha b'einecha. Every person should be bigger than you in your eyes. Imchachum ashru, let's say he is very wise or he's very wealthy. Alecha l'chavdo, you have to give him respect. Vimrashu v'ata ashru chachum imeno. Let's say he's lower. You think and you know. It's not a question. You're smarter than that person. You have more talents than that person. Chashuv b'livcha k'yata chayv men v'zakim imcha. So what? Who says you're greater than him in God's eyes, so you have more responsibility then. Who said you're living up to your tafkid in life? Shimhu chote, hu shogig v'atamezes. If he doesn't sin, he might be only shogig. You do sin, you're bemezed. The more talents we have, the more responsibility we have to live up to those talents for the Rabbonu Shalom. A person's very, very, very wealthy. You know what type of nisayon in life that is? What are you doing with that money? How are you supporting Torah? How are you supporting those aniyim? Are you giving enough of that gift that Hashem has given you? Maybe this person who's not close as wealthy, but he gives a little bit of what he has, is a much bigger sacrifice, and therefore he's much greater in God's eyes. Who are we to know? So we always have to have anivus. Because it doesn't matter who we are and what we have. What matters is our relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom. And to recognize that it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To recognize everything we have is from the Eibishter. I'll read you another short story. From another famous individual from the Umos HaOlam, Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt, listen to this. This is incredible. William Beebe, the naturalist, used to tell the story of Teddy Roosevelt. At Sagamore Hill, after an evening of talk, the two would go out on the lawn and search the skies for a certain spot of star-like light near the lower left-hand corner of the great square of Pegasus. Whatever that means. Then Roosevelt would recite, "That is the spiral galaxy in Andromeda. It is as large as our Milky Way. It is one of 100 million galaxies.
It consists of 100 billion suns, each larger than our sun. Then Roosevelt would grin and say, "Now I think we are all small enough. Let's go to bed." You hear how Teddy Roosevelt wanted to go to bed at night? The President of the United States of America, to realize I'm nothing in comparison to what's in this world, in comparison to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Anivus. He knew who he was. He knew how powerful a person he was. He knew. But ultimately, Anivus, ultimately humility. And the greatest humility is not just in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's in front of others. There's a Gemara, the Gemara in Chulin, it talks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves those who have humility. It's a Gemara in Peit Asim and Aleph. Chashkeini bekem. Hashem says, Yisrael, I desire you. Shafil b'shoshani mashpil lechem gdol, even when I give you greatness. Atem amatem atchem, you lower yourself. Lefanai. He says, by Avram. Avram said, Vano, Avram was Avram on Goyim, the leader of the whole world. He says, in Parshas Vayera, Vanochi offer v'efer. I'm like dust and ashes. The Gemara goes through many people. Moshe and Aram. They say, V'nachnu ma, what are we? We're nothing in Parshas B'shalach. And then the Gemara goes through leaders in the non-Jewish world who thought of themselves as gods, basically, and had no anivus. But then the Gemara goes on and says as follows. Amar Rav Avitei Mar Yoichanan. Gadol Shenemer B'Moshe V'Aaron Yoisim Ma'Shenemer B'Avram. That which Moshe and Aaron was said by him, V'nachnu ma, is greater than Avram V'Anoichi Ofer V'Efer. Dilu ba'avram ksiv v'anoich ever ever, bil Moshe Aaron ksiv v'nachnu ma. You think, is the Gemara telling us Moshe and Aaron are greater than Avram? You think the Gemara would want to do that? So I saw in this Sefer Tveris Elimelech that I quoted before, it brings down from a Sefer Lev Aryeh. It's very special for me because I had the schus to put out a Sefer in Bereishis, I named it Lev Aryeh. But this wasn't me. So he quotes from a different Sefer, Lev Aryeh. I don't know who the author is. He didn't have it down in the Sefer. But he says, if you look in the Gemara, it didn't say Moshe and Aaron's humility was greater than Avram's. It said what was written, that which is said by Moshe and Aaron is greater than what was said by Avram. Because on the surface, it means Avram said, I'm dust and ashes. Moshe and Aaron said, what are we? And it's if we're nothing. Saying we're nothing is greater than saying I'm dust and ashes. Dust and ashes, at least I'm something. But the Sefer Tzvi Elimelech said it's said something even deeper. Tferes Elimelech, from Tzvi Elimelech Waxman. He says, if you look in the Psukim, by Avram Vina, when he said, V'anoich ha'efer v'efer, he was talking to Hashem. He was talking to Hashem and says, V'anoich ha'efer v'efer, in comparison to Hashem, I'm dust and ashes. It's when he's trying to save Sodom, but he's talking to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was in reference compared to Bnei Yisrael. When Bnei Yisrael came and complained that we had no food, that's when Hashem gave them the man. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, what do you want from us? We're nothing. I mean, we're nothing even in comparison to you. It's much greater to have humility amongst each other than to have humility in face of God. That's what the Gemara is teaching us in Chulin Daf Petas. The Gemara is teaching us that, of course, when we think about the Ribbono Shel Olam, we know that I'm nothing compared to Hashem. But it has to be with each other as well. And then I'll be caring to give to others nonstop. But the only way I get to that is if I have that humility, recognizing the Ribbono Shel Olam in my life, recognizing the all that I have is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm going to share with you another Gemara. That I was thinking about. An amazing Gemara. Mamish, an amazing Gemara. It's a little bit of a story, so it'll be easy to listen to. But I want to share something, a chiddush that came to me when learning this Gemara this time for the first time. It's the first time we're sharing this. Hopefully we'll get a lot of chizuk from it. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samech, Tzadi Chesamet Aleph. The Gemara says as follows. Rabshua ben Levi, I'm going to read it from here. You can tell the story, but I'm going to read it from here. Rabshua ben Levi, Ashkach l'Eliyahu, he found Eliyahu Anavi.
David Kaimi Apischa de Marasa Reb Shimon Ben Yochai. He found Eliyahu Navi. Where did he find him? By the opening of the kever of Shimon Ben Yochai. So you see, when you go to Meron by Reb Shimon, that's where Eliyahu Navi seemingly hangs out. Pretty holy place. And he says, Amar Le Asinu La Alma Dasi. Reb Shimon Levi asks him, am I going to go and tell him Abba? Amar Le Im Yirtza Adon Azeh. He says, if God wants, basically. I mean, he didn't give him an answer. I can't answer you that. Amar Shimon Levi. Shnayim Reisi V'Kol Gimel Shemati. Reb Shimon Levi says, I see two people here, myself and Eliyahu, but I hear three. He heard the Shechina there. He mamish heard the Shechina. So then he says, then Reb Shimon Levi says to Eliyahu Anavi, he says, Amar Le Emas Asti Mashiach. When's Mashiach going to come? Listen, Mamish, I'm reading you Gemara that's going to tell us when Mashiach's coming. We're all waiting for Mashiach. Ani Mam Chol Yom Shiavo, right? This Gemara is going to tell us. Rav Shuv Ben Levi asks Eliyahu Navi, Eima Sasi Mashiach, Amar Lei, Zil Shaili, Lili Day. So you know what Eliyahu says to him? Go ask Mashiach. Veicha, Yasiv Apischa Dekarsa. You know where he is? He's sitting by the opening of the city. Umay Simane, how are you going to know? What is the sign? How are you going to know it's Mashiach? There's a lot of people that are going to be sitting there. Yosef Bene Aniye Soiv Lechalom. He's sitting amongst a lot of poor people who have a lot of sicknesses and wounds on their body. The Kulan Shari, I'm going to read you, this is a very strange part of the Gemara. Obviously, it's very deep and Kabbalistic. We're not going to go into it right now. But Kulan Shari Vasir Bechad Zimna. They all, when they change their bandages that are covering over their scars and their wounds, they take all the bandages off and then put all the bandages back on. You know how you know it's Mashiach? Ihu shari chad v'asar chad. He does one at a time. He takes off and puts back one at a time. Why? Amar dilma mebina delo ikav. Maybe at any moment they're going to need me to come, and I don't want them to wait. Imagine that's what it says about Mashiach. That's what he's doing. Okay. Obviously there's some deep stuff there. So you guys could think about that, and maybe when you dream tonight, come up with something. So azal agabe. So fine, Rav Shimon Levi went to Mashiach. Amar Lei, Shalom Aleichem Rabbi Amairi. He says to Mashiach, imagine the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Levi met Mashiach. He says, Shalom Aleichem Rabbi Amairi. Amar Lei, Shalom Aleichem Bar Levaya. So Mashiach says back, Shalom Aleichem, the son of Levi. Yeshua ben Levi, right? Amar Lei, Le'emas Asi, Mar. Rabbi Shimon Levi says to Mashiach, when are you coming already? Amar Lei, Hayom. Coming today. Okay, that was it. That's the whole conversation of Mashiach. Also, Gabe Elio. So he goes back to Elio. Amar Lei, my Amar Lecha. Elio says to Rav Shimon Levi, no, what did Mashiach say to you? Amar Lei, first he said, Shalom Aleichem Bar Leviya. He said to me, peace is upon you, the son of Levi. Amar Lei, so Elio said to him, Aftecha L'chol Avuchel Amadasi. In those words, he was assuring you that you and your father are going to be in the Gan Eden. You're good to go. That's what he meant by those words. That's first of all. So you have your answer as far as that goes. So then Rav Shimon Levi says to Eliyahu, but Amar Lei Shakuri Shakshekerbi. But he lied to me also. Mashiach lied to me. The Amar Lei Hayom Asina Veloasa. He said that I'm coming today and he didn't come. He said I'm coming today and he hasn't come. He says this to Eliyahu Hanavi. So what does Eliyahu know back? Amar Lechai says back. Amar Lei, he says to him, Hachi Amar Lecha, this is what he meant to say to you. And he quotes in Tehillim, Tzadi Hei, Hayom im b'kolo tishmu. He's going to come today, im b'kolo tishmu. Which means if you listen to Hashem. If we keep Torah Mitzvahs, he's going to come today. In other words, every single day, Mashiach is ready to come. It's up to us, im b'kolo tishmu. Hayom. That's Pashup Shat. So I've seen this Gemara many, many times. There's a beautiful Torah from Nachum and Breslov. We're not going to learn about right now on this Torah, actually. But what came to me in the schus of this year tonight was the following question, really on the Pasuk. It seems to me there's an extra bays here. It should say, Hayom im kolo tishmu. Hayom, he'll come today, im kolo, if his voice, tishmu, you listen to, if we listen to the voice of Hashem. Why does it say, hayom im bikolo, tishmu? The bay seems extra.
The base seems extra. So I want to suggest maybe Pshat is as follows. You know, Mashiach's going to come. If each and every one of us has the proper humility, and each of every one of us has the proper care for each other, and each and every one of us is willing to be mavato self for others like a Moshe Rabbeinu, and each and every one of us puts the needs of our siblings and the needs of our parents and the needs of our friends above our own needs, and one day the needs of our spouses and the needs of our children above our own needs, and we think about others before we think about ourselves, and we have the proper avas chinam, and the proper care for others, that's when Mashiach is going to come. And how do you see it in the pasuk? He'll come hayom, im bikolo. Listen to what I want to say. Im bikolo. If bikolo means with his voice, what's that mean? With all the voice of Hashem, with all the Torah in mind, which builds my humility, with all my connection to Hashem through the voice of Hashem, tishma'u, you're willing to listen to others. Im bikolo, if with that voice of Hashem, and therefore that building of humility, tishmu, you will listen to others. Meaning what? Because if you think about it, you know what defines somebody who has humility and cares for others? If you're willing to listen to others. It's not about you talking and you telling them. It's about just listening to them. You know, sometimes the people in your life that help you the most are people that are just willing to listen to you. Are just willing to hear you out. It's not even about what they say back. The koyach of being a listener is when we show the most caring to another person. You know, I'm sure some of you go to people that you love in your life for guidance, whether a Rebbe, whether a teacher, whether a parent, whether whoever it might be, and you'll mamish let out your heart, let out your lave about something going on in your life, and mamish sometimes with tears, and you'll walk out a different person, a changed person, and you think later someone will ask you, "What did they say to you?" I don't remember anything they said to me. It's not they didn't have to say a word. I just needed them to listen. When someone's willing to listen to you, it shows they care about you, to have the patience, to give the time. We have to become good listeners. You'll see one day, b'shatar maslachas, when you're zoiche, to stand underneath the chuppah and spend the rest of your life with a very special person, there's no more important midah than just being able to listen. No one says we have all the answers and we know everything in life. But everybody could listen. In Bikolo, and where do you learn to listen? If you realize that I'm nothing in my relationship because everything that I have is only from Hashem. So I'm here for other people. I'm here to listen to them. In Bikolo, Tishmu. That's our avodah. That's the avodah of each and every one of us. It's all good. The void of each and every one of us is to be here for others, to care for others. And that's what the Gemara is saying, when's Mashiach going to come? Now let's remember, Mashiach is not here because of Sinas Chinam. Mashiach is not here because of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash waiting close to 2,000 years. You know when it's going to come? In Bikolo, if together with our relationship with Hashem, by listening to Torah and Mitzvahs, Tishma'u. I listen to others. I feel with others. I care for others. And the Gemara, another Gemara in Chulin, happened to have it here, so we can look at it inside. The Gemara in Chulin, in Daf Ayin Ches, says, "Mi she'ira bo davar." Something, if something bad happens to someone, tzarech lehodiyah l'rabim. You have to let other people know about it. Chas v'shalom lo'leinu. Somebody's very sick. Let other people know about it. Why? Because we're rabim of action of rachamim. Because then a lot of people, they'll go and they'll beseech and ask for mercy. You want people, when we have low alayin, if someone in our family is sick, we want a lot of people to know, so they'll ask and daven. The lashon is v'rabim mivakshin olav rachamim, mivakshim. I'm far from a bucky in tiktok. That being said, mivakshin is not the proper word here. It should be v'rabim yivakshu olav rachamim. Mivakshim means that we're asking for ourselves, not for the other person. Mavaksha means that many people ask for themselves. You're not asking for yourself, you're asking for the person. So I saw the most beautiful Torah from the Nesiva Shalom, the Halakha Slanim Rebbe. Slanim Rebbe says, when you hear about the pain of another person, you hear about the suffering of another person, Mavaksha lov rachamim, you should feel that pain, you should feel the suffering, as if you're suffering, as if you're in pain. You feel with that person.
And therefore you need mercy for yourself, even. You need mercy for yourself. This is how we have to live our lives, and this is our avodah in the month of Tammuz. The month of Tammuz is to give to others, for care for others, through the humility that we're going to build, Be'ezus Hashem. And mevat ourselves to others in the deepest of ways. And give to others. And giving to others, vada means when people are in need. But giving to others also means to be mechazik others. And some of the greatest ways, and we want to end with this yisod, is to give to others in ruchnius. You know, we say every single morning when we say after Birchas HaTorah, so we say a few learnings, because you have to learn Torah right after. And one of them is Eilu Dvarim She'ein Lam Shir, Eilu Dvarim She'adam Chol Parzeim Bol Mazeh, that Karen Kamis Olam Abav, Eilu Eik Kivar Aveim, Gvinas Chasadim, Ashkamis Beis HaMidrash, all these things that give us reap benefits in this world and in the next world, right? Kivar Aveim, Chesed, Hachnasas Orchim, Bikar Cholim, V'Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. People look at that as a source that Talmud Torah is connected to all the mitzvahs. There is no source that Talmud Torah is connected to all the mitzvahs. That's not what that chazal means. What that means is Talmud Torah is connected to all that's listed in this chazal. Now what's listed in that chazal? All different types of chesed, of giving and caring for others. Kivat Aveim, Gemilas Chesed, Achnasas Orchim, Bikra Cholim, Achnasas Kala. The Talmud Torah is connected to all of these. What do you mean? I sit and I learn Torah and it's connected to all these chasadim? It doesn't mean when you sit and learn for yourself. It means that I'm giving Torah to others. There's no greater chesed you could do for another person than give them Torah. Then give them life, give them ruchnias, give them spirituality, give them simchas achayim through Torah. To be mashbi on others, to influence others, to bring someone closer to Torah, to be makari of others. We have to care about others in this way as well. Not just when we have a friend who's in need. But we have to realize if there's a friend that we could give mechazek and mekarev and ruchnius, that's a friend in need as well. And there's no greater chesed, Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Maybe that's pshat as well. There's a gemara, there's a chazal that tells us, al ma'av of the arts, why was there destruction of the Samigdash lo baruchu Torah tchila? We didn't say birchas haTorah. Maybe it's the bracha that we say. We say a few brachas in the morning, birchas haTorah. But one of the brachas we say, you all say it in the morning, that the Torah should be sweet in our mouth. But we don't just say b'finu. We say b'fi amcha b'Yis Yisrael. We want Torah to be sweet for every member of B'nai Yisrael. For v'tetze'enu v'tetze'amcha b'Yis Yisrael. For our children and children of all B'nai Yisrael. Meaning what? Maybe it's that bracha. The bracha to show we don't just care about our own Torah. We care about Yenim's Torah. We care about everyone's Torah. We care about others. That's just as important. Some of us, we learned together a few weeks ago, maybe that's as well, B'derech Drush, the mission in the beginning of Avos, Asei L'Charav. Asei L'Charav, make for yourself a Rebbe. It doesn't just mean you have to, which is very important, to have a Rebbe, someone you could call for advice, for halacha. But also, Asei L'Charav, make yourself into a Rav. Be a Rav to others. Care for others. Give to others. That's the avodah of the month of Tammuz. To feel with others. That we're one. Kol Yisrael Rebim Zel Azeh. To understand and build Aniva's humility and give to others and think about how we could give more to others. I want to read you one more excerpt from this book. One more excerpt from this book, Season of Life. Biff, this assistant coach, he's speaking again and he says as follows. What's empathy? Feeling what? Feeling what the other person feels, said senior Napoleon Sykes, one of the team captains, a small but solid wide receiver, and hard-hitting defensive back who had already accepted a scholarship to play college football at Wake Forest. Exactly right, Biff said. Not feeling for someone, but with someone. If you can put yourself in another man's shoes, that's a great gift to have for a lifetime. That was the whole idea behind Biff and Joe's ironclad rule that no Gilman football player should ever let another Gilman boy, teammate or not, eat lunch by himself. You happen to see another boy off by himself? Go sit with him. Or bring him over to sit with you and your friends, Biff said. I don't care if you know him or not. I don't care if he's the best athlete in the school or the so-called nerd with his head always down in the books. You go get him and you make him feel wanted. You make him feel special. Simple, right? Well, that's being a man built for others. Not feeling for someone, but feeling with someone. That was a Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol as well, but he lost it to Aaron, to his brother. But you know what's amazing? When Aaron's anointed the Kohen Gadol, you know who pours the oil over him to anoint him as Kohen Gadol? Moshe Rabbeinu himself. You know, imagine what that was. You know, I don't know how many of you in this room ever played on any type of team, whether it be a sport team or some other type of team. But imagine you were playing on a team, and you're playing in the championship game, and you lose the championship game. That's really defeating, that's really difficult, that's really hard. What you want to do at that moment, trust me, I've been there. You just want to crawl up into a ball and cry, and it's very hard. If you put in a lot of effort all year long, and you're working hard, and you practice in games, and you really had a goal, and you feel that you missed your goal, you didn't do it. Now imagine the following. Imagine you lose your championship game, and instead of having the ability to just walk back to the locker and mourn a little bit and eventually move on, they decided that you have to stay in the gym when they're going to give the trophies to the other team and to watch it. But no, not just watch it. You're going to be the one who presents it. You're going to have to go and take the trophy and present it to the other team. Can you imagine how difficult that would be? So here's Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to be the Kohen Gadol, and he loses that honor. And his brother becomes Kohen Gadol. And you know what he has to do? He has to take the oil of Shem and Mishcha and anoint his brother. Imagine what that should have been. Can't even imagine. Yet the Pasuk says, and we all know these Pesukim well, and Tehillim, you know well, because we sing the song, Ki Neimat Tov Manayim Shevazachim Gam Yachar. A lot of songs to those words. Shalos made a beautiful song to it. But I don't know how many people are familiar with the very next Pasuk. This Pasuk says, Yineimah Tov U'manayim, how good and how pleasant it is, Sheves Achim Gam Yachad, when brothers sit together as one. Did you ever know who that was talking about? Listen to the next Pasuk. Kishemen HaTov Al Arosh, like the good oil that went on the head, Yored HaZakan Zakan Aaron, that went down the beard of Aaron. What's the connection? So if you paid attention, the word Zakan is repeated. Yored al zakan zakan aron. It could have just said Yored al zakan aron. Why zakan zakan aron? The Medrash says it says zakan twice to teach us the following: that when Moshe Rabbeinu was pouring the oil over the head and beard of Aaron, it wasn't just that it was going on his beard. He felt as if it was going on his own beard as well. That's the repetition of the word zakan, the beard of Moshe of Aaron, the beard of Moshe. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's put in that circumstance, and he has to go and anoint Aaron in what he lost out in, he felt like he as well was being anointed. And that's the Pasuk, Hinei Matov Manayim Shavaz Achim Gam Yachad, is referring to Moshe and Aaron at that moment. How beautiful and wonderful it is for brothers to be as one. Because he felt that the Simcha of Aaron was his Simcha. He was one with him. And that same Moshe, when one was in pain, felt the pain of others. That's our avod, each and every one of us. The avod of our lives, the avodah of this month, the avodah to bring Geula to the world, is to care for others in the deepest of ways. To have the proper humility, like a Moshe Rabbeinu, and care for others in every moment. Be mevat ourselves for others. And if we care in the proper way for others, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tear up the gzeros and bring the binyan beis hamigdash shlishi. Everyone have a beautiful, beautiful week. Those who are headed to Eretz Yisrael should have tremendous, tremendous hatzlacha and tiyat Hashemai. You should be zochah to stay there. We should be zochah to be there with you, Bekarov. With all of Klal Yisrael, with Mashiach Zidkenu, b'mehera b'yameinu.